We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, spanning north of Huntsville, down south to Birmingham, Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, all points in between. Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So, hey, we are in the segment right now that I've been calling Rogue DAs. And Rogue DAs, by the way, is not my phrase. That's out there in the news. You can Google Rogue DAs and find story after story after story right now. People are sick of it. I mean, like, just like fed up. What's interesting, though, is it's not just the conservatives who are fed up. People are fed up. I mean, out in California, San Francisco District Attorney Chesa Boudin, who is the most uber-liberal guy that you could possibly imagine, just got recalled. Do you think that it was like some kind of outpouring of conservatism that rose up at the polls? No, it was liberals who were also sick of finding crime-infested streets when they walked out their front doors. It was businesses who no longer could leave their doors unlocked so that, you know, people could come and go as they please, or customers and all. They had to leave them locked because of the constant crime and theft and finding homeless people sleeping on their front steps and defecating on their sidewalks. Of you know, kids having to walk past, you know, drug parks where they're openly shooting up on the streets on their way to school. I mean, at some point you look at it and go, I don't care what your political beliefs are. No one wants to live in that. No one wants to live in that. And so Chesa Boudin, he got it handed to him at the polls in an overwhelming recall election. And right now I'm hoping this movement is going to continue on. Story I've got here from Heritage. And by the way, this Heritage story says things that I had no idea. I just thought that Chesa Boudin was a liberal. I don't know what I was thinking, but I just thought that he was just like some kind of lib who got funded like by Soros and goes, I'll take your money. Sure. What do you want me to do when I get there? Okay. I thought it was silly me. No, this guy was like basically indoctrinated from youth. I was shocked when I read this article. If this is true, and I have no reason to believe it's not. Story here off of heritage.org, which is the Heritage Foundation. Heritage.org wrote this piece on June 9th of this year. So it's just a little over, 2 months old. Chesa Boudin, the rogue prosecutor of San Francisco, was recalled from office Tuesday by voters who are disgusted by his feckless leadership and pro-criminal, anti-victim policies. The recall was organized and funded primarily by liberal Democrats who were fed up with Boudin and his hands-off approach to enforcing the law. His recall is significant, it says, not just for the voters in the city by the bay, but nationally, as it is the clearest signal yet that the rogue prosecutor movement, as we've been saying, is a colossal failure. Here's who he was, though. First of all, what did they think was going to happen? It says voters in San Francisco quite honestly should have known better when they voted for Boudin the first time. His parents, Kathy Boudin and David Gilbert, were members of the Weather Underground, and I've heard of them. Oh, yes, haven't we all? A radical, militant Marxist organization. His parents drove the getaway car from an armed robbery of a Brinks truck in New York in which the Brinks guard and two police officers were fatally shot. Wow. So when his parents were convicted and sent to jail, he was raised by two other radicals, none other than Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, co-founders of the Weather Underground, who, by the way, were contemporaries of President Obama. And then, oh, by the way, before he went to Yale Law School, he also lived in Venezuela and served as a translator to dictator Hugo Chavez. Really? Then he clerked for two federal judges and began his career in the San Francisco Public Defender's Office, where he argued that California's bail system was unconstitutional. That's the guy they elected to be the district attorney, and they didn't see this coming? Well, nonetheless, even liberals got fed up. Even liberals got so irritated with this. It goes on to say the entire so-called progressive prosecutor movement is built on two premises. Number one, it's built on the premise that the entire criminal justice system is somehow systemically racist. And number two, that to fix the system, you have to reverse engineer it and dismantle the criminal justice infrastructure. Well, I'm going to tell you, I got more on this, and we're going to get to it after the break. But let me just say this. It is absolutely apparent that it doesn't matter your political beliefs. No one wants crime-infested streets. No one wants their families to be unsafe. No one wants their kids to walk past, you know, addicts shooting up on the streets. No one wants to have to walk outside the door and smell the open sewers of the city sidewalks that have become the place where the homeless and the mentally ill just hang out and defecate. I'm just telling you, no one wants that. All right, listen, those of you in the Birmingham market that have our show on Crawford Media Group's WXJC 101.1 FM and WYDE 850 AM, you're about to switch over and hear my friend Greg Davis with Priority Talk. Those of you in the Huntsville market at 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, you guys hang around. We got another hour. We're going to keep going. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. We're coming back.
Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Alabama's syndicated news talk leader. That's right, right here in the live in the Right Side studio, local, state, national stuff. We got all the issues covering down on it, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So going on with this segment now, kind of wrapping this up, rogue DAs, all right, rogue DAs, DAs who literally say, you know what, I see that crime over there, it's a crime on the books. Don't ever bring that crime before me. I don't intend to ever prosecute that. We're not talking about prosecutorial discretion. Prosecutorial discretion is a reasonable thing that is generally allowed, and there can be abuses of that. There can be an abuse of discretion. There can be an opportunity there for someone to selectively go after somebody heavier than they should have, and that's because they have a personal bias as a prosecutor. They can just as easily also go too light on someone because they have a bent towards a certain personal bias. It's hard to separate personal bias from the job. I get that, but it doesn't mean that it's right. I'm just saying that there are times when how you feel about something weighs in. But a good prosecutor is sworn to uphold and defend, and it does not mean they are allowed to become the arbiter of truth. They are pursuing the prosecution of crimes. If they have the evidence, if they have the ability to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there is a crime that has been committed, it is their job to pursue it. Now, prosecutorial discretion does allow for times when you can plead down. You can plead down, in order to, gain cooperation with a criminal defendant who can then, in return agree to testify against someone else for a more, heinous crime or more difficult crime to prosecute, and they need his witness testimony. The same could be true, though, just for judicial economy. Maybe you can prove the drug offense, but you're not sure you can get to the, the conspiracy claim. So all said and done, prosecutorial discretion is a thing. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about here are rogue DAs that just say, literally, that thing out there, don't ever bring that to me. And they announce to the world in advance that that's just not going to happen in my office. And they set policies that literally undermine the ability to enforce the law. Because when you set that policy in advance, what does that tell law enforcement? Law enforcement looks at it and goes, well, why should I put myself at risk? Why should I have to take the chance of sticking my hand in that druggie's pocket and getting poked with a needle if I know that when I bring it to the DA, he's not going to prosecute a drug crime anyway? Why should I look at it and go, over there on the street corner, I just saw a drug deal go down. I'm a police officer. I should do something. Well, but at the same time, the mayor is going to wind up just dismissing it or pardoning it, even if we get the conviction. It undermines And it, by the way, it totally becomes a disenchanting, a demoralizing of the of the men and women in blue who are out there risking their lives every single day to literally find out that the things that they're supposed to pursue won't ever get pursued by the prosecution. Law and order, you know, the two parts go hand in hand. You have those with the arrest authorities and those with the prosecutorial requirements or duties. I'm just saying. Rogue DAs. This guy, Chase Bowden, by the way, man, what a liberal. But they all, it's amazing how much of this has been because of George Soros. Must, what a sick individual. I mean, it's like everything he's doing is designed to dismantle the United States. Intentionally dismantle the United States. Well, okay, label everything racist and demand that we dismantle and re-engineer the criminal justice system. Sound familiar? Well, story I had from Heritage that I was over in a minute ago, what these rogue prosecutors didn't count on, says the folks at Heritage, was that liberal inner city residents and voters would rise up and demand a change, that the liberals also want, you know, law and order. Says they gambled on the idea that liberal voters would tolerate crime or robbery or thefts or open-air drug markets or rising gang violence and more homicides as long as they could be told that they were reimagining prosecution and dealing with mass incarceration. They also assume that inner-city residents are stupid, it says, which you have to look at it and go, well, you voted Bowden in the first time, but I get it. They assumed that they could maintain the charade. But they assumed that voters wouldn't remember that things had been better until they took office. Like, we're talking about people like Bowden, who I just talked about earlier in San Francisco, George Gascon, Los Angeles, Larry Krasner, Philadelphia, Kim Fox in Chicago, Kimberly Gardner in St. Louis, the guy's name who I can't remember in New York City. All the crime rates have gone up since they took office because they refused to prosecute certain crimes. And they just blather on about things like mass incarceration and systemic racism. Meanwhile, crime in the streets. Well, Ron DeSantis got busy. Ron DeSantis got active. Ron DeSantis just continues to show leader. I'll be honest with you. Ron DeSantis is just kicking it, in my opinion. But when he came out and said, basically, I guarantee you what happened was he got ticked when he saw a prosecutor who announced that he was not going to enforce the laws on transgender therapies for minors, just announced that he wasn't going to do it. He probably turned to his staff and he said, I need to know if I have the authority to do something about it. And I guarantee you his chief legal counsel came back and said, Mr. Governor, you do, and here's how. And so he did. He suspended him. Statement from the governor. We are not going to allow this pathogen that's been around the country of ignoring the law. We're not going to let that get a foothold here in Florida. We're going to make sure our laws are enforced and that no individual prosecutor puts himself above the law. And I can tell you, the states and the localities that have allowed this to happen, they are ruining the day, said DeSantis. And he's right. He is absolutely right. He went on to say the guy Warren that he suspended, got him Andrew Warren, state attorney Andrew Warren. He said, Warren has effectively nullified Florida's criminal laws in the 13th Judicial Circuit and thereby eroding the law, the rule of law, encouraging lawlessness, and usurping the exclusive role of the Florida legislature to define criminal conduct. Exactly right. If you want to be a legislator and change the laws, go be a legislator and change the laws. But do not think for a second, Mr. Prosecutor, that you can have the luxury of being a legislator in the prosecutor's office. You don't have that right. You don't make the laws. You enforce the laws. And the executive branch, that's the way it works. The legislative branch, that's the way it works. The judicial branch, they have their own. They are literally there to be the arbiter of the law and the facts. Rogue DAs. Don't let it happen. And we've got one. We've got one right now here in Alabama. Danny Carr. Jefferson County District Attorney Danny Carr, who has signed on to a letter by a Soros-backed organization, freebeacon.com, dated June 29th. Dozens of progressive prosecutors, many of them funded by left-wing billionaire George Soros, have signed on to an open letter signaling their intention to defy state laws that would impose limits on abortion. Since Friday, it says, this is June 29th, 87 prosecutors have signed a letter published by the Fair and Just Prosecution, a Soros-funded progressive legal nonprofit, stating that they will decline to use our offices to criminalize reproductive health decisions. It's not reproductive, by the way. It's non-reproductive. You're killing babies. How can that be reproducing? It's not reproductive health. It's non-reproductive health. Anyway, I digress. And commit to exercise our well-settled discretion and refrain from prosecuting those who seek, provide, or support abortions. 28 of the document's 87 signatories, roughly a third, have ties to Soros, according to the Washington Beacon. So, yeah, George Soros, literally determined to undermine the rule of law, literally determined to put his money behind people like Chesa Boudin, who will go into office and make things worse, like Kim Fox, like Gascon, and it just, it goes on and on. Don't let it happen here, Alabama. If you see a prosecutor announcing that they don't like those laws, so they choose not to enforce them, or for that matter, Mayor Randall Woodfin, who in my opinion is unfit to serve now because he's decided that he's going to pardon every single offense despite what the laws say. Mr. Mayor, you are welcome to go and be a legislator and try to fight to have the laws changed. But it is, and I understand individual pardoning authority. He can argue all day long that pardoning authority is part of his office, that part of the privilege of his office. He's abusing that privilege. 15,000 blanket pardons in one whack, dating back to 1992. How long has he been in office? Since what, 2014? 2015-16? That's an abuse of power, and it signals that it doesn't matter what happens in terms of conviction, he's not going to let it stand. All right, folks, listen. We're going to move off this topic. Boomer, go ahead and take us to a break, brother. We'll go to this break right now. I'm going to switch gears. Rogue DAs, not here. Not on my watch. You should be saying the same thing. Keep your heads on a swivel. Keep your powder dry. Don't let it happen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. You stay tuned. We'll be right back.